and welcome back. So here we are, halfway through the programme at week 8. I hope I'm finding you well and happy and having had a really good week looking at and exploring some of your limiting beliefs. So what difference, if any, did the rubber band make to your self-talk this week if you decided to have a go with it? And if you decided not to use it, I wonder if the other techniques that we looked at last week started to make any difference to your self-talk. Perhaps you did the state change with your body language, or perhaps you did something else, something from a previous session, or something else from last week's session. Well, whatever it was, I'd like you just to take a moment and write down what difference, if any, did the technique that you chose to work on during the week, maybe the questions, or perhaps more than one thing you've worked on, what difference did it make to your self-talk this week? Please take some time to answer that question. As always, moving straight into the recap questions, as always, looking at them to get you to recap on where you are so that we can build on how far you've come before we move into the next set of exercises. So please take some time to do that now. And I wonder how successful you were at catching or changing limiting beliefs. Make a note now. How successful were you? Writing in your journal, sharing with your buddy or your coach, whoever's working alongside this program with you. And what techniques did you use? So I've already said perhaps you used the rubber band or you used the state change, or maybe you use something else. Perhaps you've been continuing to use some of the techniques that I've introduced you to in previous weeks. So specifically, what techniques worked for limiting beliefs? What techniques weren't as effective? Which were the best ones to help you challenge? Perhaps it was asking your children if it was appropriate to do so, or your partner or your friend, one of those techniques, or maybe something else. Which ones did you use and which ones did you find the most helpful in challenging or stopping limiting beliefs? And were you able to replace limiting beliefs with positive statements or affirmations? Did you remember to do that? Now, I want you to remember that when we're doing affirmations, it's important that you feel them as well as say them. So it's not ideal for you to just say them in that kind of tone and I am confident at whatever it is you're looking to be confident at. It's really important that you say it and you feel it. You feel where confidence will be in your body and you actually step into that state management state whilst you're saying your affirmations in your head or out loud. So were you able to replace limiting beliefs with positive statements or affirmations? And if the answer is no, what stopped you? If the answer is no, what got in the way? And if the answer is yes, well done. If the answer was no, then how are you going to do it differently this week? Because limiting beliefs, if they're in your life, will continue to be there until you challenge them and start to replace them with more positive statements. Start to plant those positive seeds in place of the old weeds. So take some time, please, and think about what you were doing over the last week and how you were able to replace them with positive statements and what they were. What were your statements or your affirmations? And have you practiced your new techniques daily so that you can achieve your 30-day challenge? If the answer is yes, how many days have you been practicing on a regular basis for now? On a countdown to 30. And if you started but you stopped and you've had to start all over again, because if you remember I said to you it's important that you do it continually for 30 days, then what day are you on now and how are you going to ensure that you make 30 days this time? Now, if you haven't been practicing your new techniques daily, what stopped you from doing it? And how will you challenge or change that obstacle this week? What one thing have you learnt from last week's session? What change or progress have you noticed since last week? Remember, by now we're halfway through. If you're not noticing change or progress, you've really got to stop. You've got to stop and go, what is it that I'm not doing? What is it I need to do more of? You're going to need to speak to someone, your coach, your buddy. You're going to need to really get honest with yourself if you're not noticing change or progress so far. 8 weeks into this program, there must be some change if you're taking daily and regular actions, if you're aware of what you're doing, and if you're serious, really, really serious about making these changes. Because if you're just listening to this audio, if you're just looking and flicking through the workbooks, you're not going to have any change. Nothing's going to really happen because it's just another thing that you're listening to or another thing that you're reading. So if you're not tip-top, right on track with your commitment and your motivation, then you need to stop right now. Don't go any further. Do not turn this audio back on until you are 100% clear about what it is you want, why you want it, and what you're going to do that's different to make it really happen. Now, if that's not you and you're on target and you're making progress and you've noticed change, fantastic, well done. Please write down, what change or progress have you noticed since last week? And the last point, were there any beliefs that no longer served you around your goals? Did you find some that used to be useful or used to keep you safe or maybe were true at some point in your life in the past, but now you realise you've outgrown them, you don't need them anymore. You can move on from any of those old beliefs because they're more suited to the past. And as you already know, the past does not have to equal the future, unless, of course, you want it to. So were there any beliefs that no longer served you around your goals? Please make a note of them now. Excellent. Well done. So this week, what we're going to do is build on what we started last week. And I'm also going to share with you more techniques to support the changes that you want around any limiting beliefs that could be holding you back. So last week, we started looking at limiting beliefs and you were introduced to a few basic techniques. Gave you a few to start you off, to support you with your self-awareness around mind chatter and to support you with stopping and then changing any limiting beliefs or internal dialogue. Well, today, I want to continue with the same subject. You know, you have got all the power within you to make the changes you want to around limiting beliefs. And one of the keys to doing this is becoming aware of what they are and how they limit you. Now, I know you know this already, but I'm going to keep on repeating this stuff so that you really get it. And the reason I'm also repeating it again and again and again is because, of course, that's how we make change happen, through consistent repetition, through practicing what we know, taking action on it, and noticing the changes. So understanding the theory that our beliefs are part of our life scripts that are given to us by others is a great place to start. But when you really get it, when you don't just theorize about it, when you don't just think about it, when you get it, when you know it, when you have an aha moment, it becomes so much easier to identify limiting beliefs that have been given to you. And it also becomes easier to start to make changes around them. In NLP, I learned that what I see in others is what I may like and or dislike in myself. And in Reiki and some of the chakra work that I did, I learned that unless I can learn to accept, love and forgive myself, I might always see in others that which I dislike or hate or have not forgiven in myself. Because the idea is that my outer world mirrors my inner world. Now, you may or may not like that theory or that idea, but think about it for a moment and just see whether it could support you in making change. See, I found it really useful when it came to changing my limiting beliefs. And if you don't like that idea, find something else that you do like that's really useful that can support you in making this change. See, it helped me to realise that the limiting messages that I'd been given about myself by significant others in my life that meant well, that were doing the best they possibly could with the information and the knowledge that they had at that time, may in fact have been the things that they didn't like about themselves, which they saw in me. And then they kept on trying to stop those things in me by criticizing them or by judging them or by saying I shouldn't do certain things because they didn't like that they did them. But I was too young to understand and realize that. It wasn't until I was a lot older and I started to learn about behavior and started to learn a little bit about psychology and coaching that I could, and certainly NLP, that I could suddenly see that the things that the significant others in my life had criticized me on or judged me on or told me that were not appropriate for me to do or be like or behave like were the very things that they did themselves. Now, of course, as a child, in that hypnotic alpha state that I mentioned to you last week, before I knew about the above theory, The messages just became part of my truth. And when I was regularly told that I was stupid or I wasn't good enough or no one would like me unless, and started to give me all the messages about what I needed to do in order to be liked, I began to see the world through the eyes of a stupid girl or a girl that was less than. And you can imagine how that narrowed down my future potential and possibilities. But I was blinkered. I didn't know any different. Yeah, sure, it was painful, but it wasn't that painful because it just was. It was just the truth. I know I didn't like myself. I know I didn't like the messages, but I just got on with it because it was just a fact. Now, when I started to learn quite a few different things in personal development, it was painful to realize that I'd been carrying these messages around for a long time and they had made me play a very small game in life. But by recognizing them, by working on them, which I have to tell you wasn't easy, it didn't happen overnight. It took time, but through repetition, because I really wanted to make the change. I was really motivated to make those changes. But through repetition, but of course awareness first, and noticing what I wanted and focusing on it, and then repeating the good things I wanted, the good affirmations and statements and actions, I was able to start to move on from a lot of limiting beliefs I used to have. And in doing so, my world started to change. The people I attracted into my life, the work I got involved in, the opportunities that came my way, the financial stability, the love of my work, great relationships. Obviously, relationships have a few challenges now and again, but overall, really great relationships. And when big problems came calling, which they did regularly and they still do. My life's not perfect. I have lots of work still to do. But when big challenges came calling, rather than screwing me up or shutting me down or making me go back into that tiny little dark place I used to live in, I had learnt strategies and behaviours and ways to deal with the issue, to communicate how I felt. I'd grown into my confidence. I'd started to trust that I was okay. And all of that came about because of challenging, limiting beliefs. So I don't know whether sharing that with you could be helpful for you. I don't know whether the NLP theory could be helpful for you, that others see in you what they don't like in themselves and others see in you what they love about and like in themselves as well. But if it's not, as I've already said to you, find something that could be useful to help you really start to challenge limiting beliefs. Step outside of your constricted life view. Look at it from a new or different perspective. It's really liberating and it offers you hope for the future. And it'll also keep you on track. It'll be your motivator if you start to wane or to doubt yourself. So before I discovered personal development, I didn't actually know that limiting beliefs existed. I thought, as I've already said to you, that the messages were just truths. They were just facts. Is this making sense to you? So by the age of 23, when I started to look into psychology, well, I found it liberating to know that I could do something about how I felt inside. And I've worked on bits and pieces regularly, like I say, over the past years. And today, I feel free. I feel secure and happy. I feel content and joyous. And I feel alive. And I'm so grateful to have found tools and techniques along the way that supported these changes for me. And now, I'm sharing some of them with you here. There's so many more. These are just a small number. I mentioned the Ultimate Belief Toolkit. There's more on there. And there's even more that I've got. But the great news is you don't need hundreds of different tools to make a change. I truly believe you need one or two of the right tools and use them regularly and they can make big changes. And then, of course, when you've got certain limiting beliefs under control, new things might come up and you might need some different tools. But practice, I'm giving you lots of different tools in this program. Practice with one or two things that you find work. That's why I asked you at the beginning, what worked for you? What did you learn in our recap questions? So that you can get clearer about what is working for you and what would you like to repeat and use and do again and again and again. If you have been following this program weekly, you'll probably have started to see some changes in how you feel about and how you see your life and how you think about your life. By now, you may have challenged a number of old patterns and behaviours as well as some of those limiting beliefs. Well, here's some more things for you to consider With self-awareness, you've got all the tools you need to start changing the way you think. But this might help you as well, just to have a little bit more information when you're working with your beliefs. So beliefs and values are like coloured filters that have been given to us by others. Identify the ones you're happy with, identify the ones you like, and use them to support you in achieving your goals. Also, identify the less than helpful ones so that you can start to do something about them. You can choose. Remember we talked about choice and cause and effect? You can choose to change them if you no longer want them. But if you keep them, then we know that that's a choice. We know that you want to keep them. There's some secondary gain, or you're quite happy being unhappy with them, or you're not that bothered by them. I don't know what your reasons will be, but you'll know. But you need to look at that. Your attitudes are clusters of beliefs and values, and they're like the lenses of the glasses. Now, if the colour of the lenses you're wearing doesn't suit you, change them to another colour by challenging your beliefs and your values. But of course, you've got to know what they are in order to be able to challenge them. Your thoughts, they come about because of your beliefs, your values, your experiences, and your attitudes. Now, up until about the age of 5, Vygotsky says that we externalise our thoughts and therefore we don't need any mind chatter. We don't have a need for it because we say everything out loud. Of course, for some of you, it might have been 4, for some of you, it might have been 6, but roughly around about the age of 5. So we say what we think, and people around us, our significant others, such as parents and teachers and carers, they police what we say. They'll either say, oh, that's a nice thing that you said or you did there. Or they'll say, oh, that wasn't a very nice thing. Don't say things like that. People won't like you if you speak like that. Or nice boys and girls don't say things like that. Or they say, keep thoughts like that to yourself. Thank you very much. And many other sorts of messages like that. And what happens is, according to Vygotsky, we get to an age where we start to internalise our thoughts because we learn it's not okay to say what we think. And that's probably absolutely right, because it's not socially acceptable. We might say things not meaning to be mean, but they sound mean. But then what happens is there's no one to police our thoughts anymore except for us. And because the thoughts are going on in our heads, there's no one to question the negative things we say to ourselves. No one can hear it, only us. And there's no one to reassure us and say, look, that's not a very nice thing to say about yourself. Or actually, I know I said something to you the other day about not being good enough at, but it was only for that one occasion. I didn't mean you're not good enough ever. But of course, as a young child, we might take it in and make a decision that suddenly we're not good enough ever because somebody said we weren't good enough once. Am I making sense to you with this? So there's no one to challenge our mental and emotional chatter. And unless we do the work ourselves or with someone else supporting us, which is highly unlikely as a little kid, then we just might stay stuck in our never-ending circle instead of learning how to grow and develop and move on. And for many people, they don't get to challenge these thoughts unless they go into counselling or therapy or coaching or personal development of some sort. And for many of the people I've worked with, some of them are their 40s, 50s, 60s, and they've been practicing old limiting beliefs and thoughts all their life. And so, of course, it's quite a challenge, and it's going to take some time to change them because they were good at them, good at the other way, the old way. And now they've got to learn to be good at talking to themselves in the new way. So I wonder what thoughts you need to identify and challenge. There is a great story by John Wellwood in The Awakening. And whether you want to read the book or not is a totally different matter, but there's a wonderful story. And he says, and so, born a mighty castle with thousands of beautiful rooms all filled with light and open doors, all clean and shiny, ready for guests to visit and use. But as they visit and criticise how our rooms look and remind us that people like us don't have or do certain things like that in our rooms, as they advise us that we may not be liked or accepted if we show certain rooms off, we start to realise that maybe our rooms are a bit out of date, or maybe they're shabbier than we first thought they were, or maybe they're darker than we imagined, or in the wrong position in the castle. So as each visitor comes a calling, they remind us of how we're not enough. And because they do that, we start to close off our rooms one at a time, bit by bit, until, as John Wellwood says, we end up thinking we actually live in a little terrace, two up, two down, that's madly in need of repair, rather than the mighty castle that we really are, that we were born as, with all those wonderful differences, all those wonderful rooms offering all the different aspects and facets of ourselves. I don't know whether you like that. That's an abbreviation of John Wellwood's story of the castle, and he links it to us being born with so much potential, so much light, so many open doors, and because of judgments and criticisms and stories and messages and other people telling us who we should be and what we should do and how we should behave and how we should be in life and how we're not good enough or not okay. He says that because of those messages, each one of our rooms gets shut down. And very often, people are living in one tiny little dark room with a single bulb in the middle of the room, thinking that that's who they are. And in fact, all those rooms are still within them. They've just shut them off. And what looking at limiting beliefs can do, and working with a coach can do, is start to open those doors one by one, so that you can let the light back in and start to see your magnificence. Now, for some people, coaching won't be enough. They'll need to work with a counsellor, or they'll need to work with a therapist, because there may be some traumas or some issues that are much bigger than coaching can manage or handle. So they might decide that they want to do some past work in order to open up their rooms. But for lots of people, personal development is the first step towards recognising who you are and what you want. And this programme is very much aimed at people who've either had some counselling or therapy or don't want it, and have decided that their past is the past and that they want to move on and they want to explore how to develop their present and their future. So if this programme is working really well for you so far, and it's absolutely appropriate in terms of it's a coaching tool for you, which we talked about right at the very beginning about coaching and what it was all about for you, then if you like that story, the John Wellwood story, I want to ask you, which rooms have you shut off in your mighty castle? You might want to stop the audio and take some time. You might want to start to label all the different rooms in your castle, the ones that you think you were probably born with. And they'll be your capabilities and your strengths. They'll be who you think you really are, not who you've been told you are. And they'll be your quietness or your exuberance. They'll be your joyfulness and your confidence, all those kind of descriptors. So take some time and just get clear about which rooms do you think you've shut off in your mighty castle because of messages and limiting beliefs that you might like to shed some light in and start to work on. Do that now, please. So next thing to consider are your feelings. And depending on who you're listening to and depending on who's teaching you, some people say that your feelings come about because of your thoughts, and others say that your thoughts come about because of your feelings. So I think I've mentioned this to you before. There's an APET model, APET, which says that outside influences cause you to pattern match in the brain with something that you recognise from the past. This is all unconscious, not consciously. And that the pattern match causes a physical, emotional feeling within the body, which then sends a message to the brain, which causes you to think something. Now, in NLP, I learnt that feelings come about because of thoughts you think and then you feel, which in turn causes you to act or not. Well, you know, whichever way works best for you, it doesn't really matter so long as you're paying attention to how you think you operate. So if you notice that you see something and it causes an emotion and then you think, then you're starting to understand your strategy and the way you operate more clearly, and you can do something about breaking that pattern. If you're interested in strategies and finding out more about them, then you would need, as I've already said before, to look into NLP or to study or read neuro-linguistic programming. But for now, when we think about feelings, what I want you to be very clear about is that every word and every thought has an emotional charge to it. And the words that you're thinking either make you feel happy or they make you feel sad. And some of them will just be neutral. They'll just bypass you. They're just words. But if you do fall into a negative cycle of limiting beliefs and negative thinking, then it's very important that you start to identify the words that cause you to feel low. So one of my clients that I worked with, when she had a goal of giving a presentation to a large group of people, the very word presentation caused her to freeze. It shut her down completely. And when I asked her to change that word into something that was more positive, she came up with communicating information. And every time we spoke about her communicating information to a group of people, there was no emotional charge. She felt neutral. She felt quite happy about that. But when she thought about giving a presentation, it caused her to shut down and to worry about judgment and criticism and getting it wrong and not being able to give or share this information. So I want you to become aware of the kind of words that shut you down, or the kind of words that bring fear into your mind. And you'll know because you'll feel it in your body. So I'd really like you to stop the audio and just think, is there anything that you can think of now? And you don't have to. You don't have to come up with a load of words that you know cause you fear. But if there are any words that you know do get you in that way, get them out now. Log them down. Know that they're emotionally charged, because they cause you to be exhausted, to be stressed. They can even cause depression for people. And if you find some of these really heavy, negatively charged words, there is hope. You can change them. You might be able to do it with the work that we're doing together here already. If you've got a coach, they're going to be able to help you. If you're doing this by yourself, then it might be a good idea to work with a coach on some of these heavily charged words. And I want to share with you that there's extra tools such as NLP, which I've already mentioned. There's thought field therapy, which you can find out more about, which will take the emotion out of and the charge out of words. There's reflective repatterning, which is a fabulous new energy type of NLP work, which will definitely support a huge number of people. None of these things are 100% for anyone, but lots and lots of people are finding it amazing in terms of making them feel better about words like presentation, value words like rejection, embarrassment, or you name it. I'm not going to go through a big long list of words now, but the kind of words that people really feel bad about, and rejection is a huge one. Overwhelm is another one. So there's lots of stuff out there to help you. There's also emotional freedom technique, EFT, and there's something called TAT, Tapas Acupressure Technique. And all of these can support and speed up the process of you moving on from any feelings that you have about thoughts or words. And of course, we know about state management. Change your body and you can start to impact on the way the words make you feel as well. So do that exercise now. And if you can't think of anything just yet, make a note, pop it on your questions for the end of today's session. You know, the ones you're going to put around your house, and make sure that you include it in there to start to notice, are there any words that I feel emotionally negative about or cause me to feel negative feelings in my body? So you can become aware of them and you can work with them on this program or with your coach or with someone else if a coach is not appropriate for you to work with on them. So please do that now. Okay, so the next thing I want to share with you is about decisions. Again, decisions are made very early on in our little minds as little children. So because of our conditioning and messages, we unconsciously decide that this is how life is. We are being programmed with this all the time. In our programming, our parents will give us messages about this is who and how women are and how they should be and how they should behave. This is who and how men are and how they should be and how they should behave. This is the way the world is, as I've already mentioned to you. This is what love means. This is what relationships are like. This is what marriage is like. This is what being a good person is like or a bad person is like. So we're given lots of messages and lots of conditioning. And we make little decisions unconsciously as small children that this is the way the world is. And as you explore personal development, such unconscious decisions may conflict with your new conscious understanding. They're out of sync with each other. Now, there are things you can change consciously by yourself just through self-awareness, just through working with this program or working with your coach. However, there are some things that will be too big for this program. There'll be some things where there's conflict for you, and you'll hear things like, well, part of me feels like this, and part of me feels like that. So you may have some conflict going on. And if you do, then if you're working with your coach and he or she is an NLP coach, they're going to be able to support you in making changes much quicker by the use of NLP or, again, thought field therapy or some of the other techniques I've already mentioned to you. So I just want you to know about that. But these decisions that we've made as little kids, there are exercises to support you to change those. And the reason you'd want to do that is because if the decisions you made at the age of 3 or 4, 5, 6, etc., are not supporting you, for example, men are, or women are, and you're struggling with relationships, it may be time to change the decision you made based on past conditioning, because what you've been told may or may not be true for the whole world. It may be true for your current experiences or your parents' experiences, but it may not be true of every man and every woman, and you may want to change that decision. Same about money. Messages like money is the root of all evil. Well, money is just energy. It's something that we exchange for something that we want, and we work or we do something, we use our energy to get the money. So if you've got negative messages and decisions made about money or relationships and health as well, that's another one, then you may decide that you want to do more work on that, then your coach is going to be able to help you with that. But this program will help you with a lot of it. But really undoing some of these things, you might need to take this program a little bit further. So that's just some extra information for you so that you can be aware of it and then you can make choices based on it. Which leads me to the next point, which is about choice. And choice arises from the decisions that you've made. Now, we've already looked at choice in previous exercises and previous weeks. If you don't think you make choices, as I said to you before, think again. Just look at your actions or lack of them. What you do is based on the choices and decisions you've previously made. And the decisions, as I've already said, that can be unconscious will cause you to not do something, which is a choice, or they'll cause you to do something, which is a choice. So now that you know all of this, I want you to start to pay more attention to your beliefs and also to your attitude towards goals. I also want you to be even more aware of your thoughts. I really want you to get in touch with your feelings. And I want you to just be open to noticing what might you have made decisions about that you didn't even know you were doing. And what about the choices that you're making around your current goals that we're working on, the really important things in your life? So I'd like you to get really clear about how you're operating and how you're thinking in terms of your outcomes for the goals that you've chosen for this program. So go back to your three goals, take a look at them, and just check, what are your beliefs about them? Well, we already know that. You've done a lot of work on that, haven't you? And what are your attitudes towards them? What attitude have you got towards your goal? And what are your thoughts? Are they different to your beliefs? What are your thoughts? If they're not, that's fine. And how do you feel about your goals? Are there any decisions that you've either made in the past, based on experience or based on messages, that could stop you from moving forward with your goals? Or maybe you've got some really positive decisions. You've made a decision that you're going to work on these goals and you're going to achieve them. And you know why. We know you do because you've done that already. And they feel good. So it's not a must or a have to. It's a want to. They make you feel really good. And what choices are you going to make about your goals? So you'll see in your workbook, you have a list of questions. My goal is, my beliefs, attitude, thoughts, feelings and decisions about my goal are, and I choose to. Please would you do that now and switch the audio back on when you're ready. Okay, so now you've got that awareness, here's some extra things for you to consider. Wanting the goal is as important as believing you can have it. So on a scale of 1 to 10, let's check in. I know you've done this before. How much do you want this goal? 1, I don't want it. 10, I couldn't want it more. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe you can have this goal? Now, desire for the goal is important. And here I've got some extra conflicting information for you. Some people say, some trainers and some gurus say, that if you desire your goal too much, you're actually focusing on the negative, because your desire is such a need, such a, oh my goodness, I've got to have it, that it's focusing on, I don't have it. And other speakers, other gurus say that desire is essential, that if you don't desire it, you're not going to ever get it. Now, I don't know what's going to work best for you. I know that when I desire something, when I want a goal, I make a decision. And when I've made a decision, then I go for it. I make a choice, I'm going to go for it, and I set my actions, and I just take them, I just do it. And I've thought about them, obviously, before I've decided I'm going to take them, but that's before the decision. That's knowing I want it, thinking about it, checking out what do I want, how am I going to get it, what am I focused on, etc. Then making a decision, and then choosing to take action on it. Now, that's my strategy, and that works for me. It works for me every single time, but I know what my strategy is, and I just go do it. So I don't think about it in a, oh, I've got to have it. And I don't think about it in a, yes, I'm going to go get it. I just make that decision. And for me, when the decision's made, it's a done deal. It's going to happen if it's within my power. Now, I don't know how you operate, and I wonder if you know. So it would be really great for you to think about something you've wanted in the past that you've taken action on, ideally that you've got. And it would be great for you to close your eyes right now, and for you to remember that time and to think, what got you from not having what you wanted to having what you wanted? Was the feeling one of desperation and need, or was it one of decision and positive desire? And how did you know that you were going to make it happen? What was the first thing that you thought or felt or saw, or even said to yourself? And then what was the next thing? And what I want you to do is, you understand about strategies because we've done that in a previous week. I want you to stop this now, and I want you to write down your strategy for achieving something, achieving a goal, achieving, getting something that you want. I want you to write down your strategy. And just as simply as I shared mine with you, it's not going to be anything too complicated, but how do you know if you're working on a positive vibration in terms of desire, or in a desperation in terms of desire, a neediness and a, oh, I've got to have it, rather than a, I really want it and I'm going to go get it? Maybe you can hear the difference there. So please stop the audio and do that right now. Excellent. So, even more awareness. Now, all of this stuff is building blocks, building on week by week, so that you can really get clear about how you operate. You see, when you know how you operate, if you start to veer off, or if you start to go back to your old ways, you can stop it. This is a bit like you policing yourself in a new way, rather than just being run by your unconscious or being run by old messages. You're now taking responsibility. You're now stepping up, and you're stepping into an adult place, which is what coaching is very much about. So now that you know that, it's important for you to have goals that make you feel good, and that you really want, that you're happy with, that you feel good about taking the actions on, and you're not too attached to the outcome, as in the needy or desperation aspect. It's a case of, they can happen. There's this certainty, this absolute belief, and you take action. So in metaphysics, they say that if we become too attached to the outcome, as I already started to say to you, then it becomes a bit of a negative vibration, and it can attract negative outcomes. So ideally, when you get clear about your goal and you check your beliefs and attitudes, your thoughts and feelings, your decisions and your choices, that all backs the goal up. It makes you feel good, and it takes it to that trust place, that trust that you just know you're going to achieve it, as long as you take the actions, of course. And then it kind of manifests, because you're programming your reticular activated system, you're focusing on it in a very positive way, you're accepting that it's going to happen because you're in control of it, because it's important you're in control of it, and over a period of time, it's just going to, it's going to appear, it's going to be there. Is this all making sense to you? So in order for you to achieve this great state that I'm talking to you about, this certainty, it's really important that you have, we've already talked about it, positive desire, that you have an expectation that it will happen. You're going to need to use your imagination. That means that you need to create it in your mind. Now, we talked about this a little bit before. You need to be able to see the outcome. And if you're not visual, it's very easy to learn how to be. And one of the first ways to do that is go get a picture. You know, vision boards are a really great idea. Or even just a picture of you that you stick on to the goal that you want to achieve. Or if it's a thing you want, then you can put yourself in the car or in the house. You can actually make up a little picture or a little board. But you need to use your imagination. Because as Einstein said, that imagination is the precursor to an event happening. So everything happens in the mind first before it happens in reality. So you need to start to develop that part of you. You also need to be very clear about what you want. I know we've covered this in goal setting, but I want to remind you, remember I'm repeating and reminding to keep you on track. You need to be committed. Now, commitment is a word that holds a negative vibration for some people, especially people who love freedom. The thought of being committed is like, whoa, no thank you, it means something not so good for me. However, commitment just means you put your stake in the ground, and it's a bit like you made a decision and you made a choice. You decided you want this and you're going for it. So if you don't like the word commitment, find a positive one, like I gave you the example with my client with the presentation and the communicating information. The next ingredient is action. You'll find these in your workbook as well. You need to take action and you need to celebrate. You've got to celebrate. And it's great to celebrate each step of the way rather than waiting to the end and then not noticing and just jumping onto the next goal. So celebration, step by step, is a really great idea. The other thing you need is time. A lot of people that I've worked with, they haven't got any patience. They want the goal to manifest in a day or a week. And as you get older, you just know that it takes time. So if you know that you're not willing to be patient, then maybe you need to look at that. Perhaps that's an area to set a goal in or a characteristic to develop. I know I used to be impatient and I've learnt the hard way. And of course, the time goes anyway. You know, a year goes by and why not be patient and have what I want in a year rather than a year later not even be a step closer to it. But anyway, that's me. So making change, as you already know, it takes time. Changing limiting beliefs, we've got some theory out there. We've got some experiments that say 21 to 30 days for that to happen. For some, it will happen quicker. For some, it might be a little bit longer. But give yourself time. Be consistent and celebrate each small step. Okay. So I'd like you to take one of your three goals. Check it's a healthy goal, one that makes you feel really good. Make sure it's positively stated. And now please write it down. Now, as you look at it, I want you to check. Do you expect it to happen? This is a bit like, do you believe it'll happen? Do you trust that if it's right for you, it will happen? Stop the audio, pause it, whatever, and check. Check your feelings, remember? Check your thoughts. Check your beliefs and your attitude towards this. Make a decision, choose to expect it to happen. Create a visual for it. Now would be a really good time. If we were in a class together or if we were in a session together, I would have asked you to bring in some magazines or I'd have had some magazines for you and we'd be going through them and we'd right now, right this second, be creating a vision board for this. So if you have magazines around, newspapers or inserts that you get in newspapers, then stop the audio now and go create a visual for this goal. If you haven't already done it, please do it now. And if you just have no magazines around or anything, write it as one of your actions for this week before next week to create a visual for it. So either stop the audio and do that now, or we're going to move on to the next bit if you have already created a visual or you just can't do it right now. Okay. Imagine the goal happening in your future. Imagine it happening 2 or 3 times a day. You can do it more often if you want to, but it's not about doing this 20 times a day and being negatively attached to it. Remember that. All I want you to do is create a little picture, and that's having a daydream. Now, some people believe daydreaming is bad because they were told off at school for looking out the window and daydreaming. But daydreaming is the start of goal setting. If you don't daydream a little bit, you don't know what you want. So I'm going to ask you to do that now. We're not looking to overdo this. We don't want to spoil it. What we want to do is we want you to create a visual. And if you can't see something, you've got your vision board, or you can talk to yourself and you can feel the feeling of this happening, or you can write down something. Ideally, close your eyes and talk to yourself if you can't see it, and start to see the goal happening in the future. What date do you want it by? In your mind's eye, step into that date and see yourself achieving this goal. And all you do is you make it as clear as you can. So if it's a bit fuzzy, then just work on it a little bit to clear it up. Start to make it clearer and clearer. And all you want to do is flash it into your mind 2 or 3 times a day, 15, 30 seconds, something like that, no more than a minute. Just daydreaming, on the bus, on the train, whatever it is, seeing that happening, just flashing it into your mind 2 or 3 times a day. And then the next thing to do is to measure it carefully. You want to know how many grams there are in each step. How much does it weigh? And that's because I use the analogy of recipes. I'm talking about grams here. So if you were to measure this out, how many grams, how many steps would there be for you to actually achieve this? And we've done this before. We did it with the X and the Y idea, with the X being the present moment and the Y being the future. So if you're not sure, get crystal clear about the steps that need to be taken. Do that now. Measure that out now, please. Again, if we were in the class together, that's what we'd be doing right now. And the next thing is to check if there's any obstacles, any physical ones, any mental ones, and any emotional ones. So stop the audio again. If we were in a workshop together, each of these things we'd be stopping and doing. You'd be doing them in pairs, which is why I want you to have a buddy or a coach. And some people like to do these things by themselves, and that would be fine. But mostly people do this in pair work, because asking questions really makes things easier for you to be able to think and do the work in the moment. So are there any obstacles? If there are, write a heading of obstacles or mind map them and get clear. Physical obstacles, any mental obstacles, any emotional obstacles. Please do that now. Okay, brilliant. You're doing so well with this. Now that you know what the obstacles are, if there are none, fantastic. But if there were, you need to agree or commit to work on them regularly. Depending on how many there were, you're going to need to identify what's the first one that you need to work on, so that you can lovingly, daily start to take steps towards your goal, towards achieving it. Now, if you take daily action to ensure that this goal is cooked, it'll be ready to serve up on time. And the last point, notice how far you've come. I want you to celebrate and congratulate. And then the end of this recipe is enjoy ice cold or piping hot, because it serves up well both ways. Well done. Next thing I want to talk to you about is expectation. Some individuals I've worked with, and I was a bit like this in the past as well, are encouraged to lower their expectations in order not to be disappointed. Now, having low expectations of yourself and of life potentially damages your self-esteem, and it keeps you playing a small game, which I've already mentioned. It also suggests that you might operate from a driving value of safety and security, and I know that I very much did and still do to a point as well. Now, whilst both of these values are very important, if you let them, they can become your jailers and keep you imprisoned in your comfort zone, never taking action. So we need to look at, and we've already talked about expectation earlier, but we need to look at your expectation in terms of your goals, that you expect to achieve them, that you expect to be good enough to get them. And if you're not, you might need to do some work on that. Some of you won't need to do any work on it. Some of you might need to. And it could be that coaching is supportive for you on this, or it could be that you need to speak to a counsellor or a therapist or to some other support agency if your self-worth is lower than you'd like it to be, or just not working for you in terms of your expectations. So if you think about successful people, I don't know who you admire in life, whether it's a sporting hero that you have, or whether it's a business and entrepreneur, or whether it's X Factor, or whether it's something else that you can relate to. But when you think about sporting heroes or people who are out there and who want to do really well, you wouldn't expect to hear them say, "I don't expect to win." You see, their coaches work with them so that they believe in their capabilities and their skills, so that they're working towards a positive outcome. Now, this doesn't mean to say that you have to go around telling everybody that you expect to win, but inside, you need to know that you expect to win or succeed or get or achieve, or whatever it is the word that's right for you. I listened to Linford Christie, or been interviewed on a program, a sporting program, and it was all about winning and success earlier on this year. And what he was saying is that wanting to win is vital. Expecting to win is really important. And he said that if you worked with your mindset as if it was a physical muscle, which is essentially what it is, then believing that it's possible is an absolute must. So I want to ask you to make a decision to expect a little bit more in life, especially around your goals, and then take appropriate actions to support this new way of thinking. And talking about thinking, challenge it, as you already know, if it's not supporting you. And if it's not working with you, then do some of the exercises, some of the techniques that we've already talked about. So as you think about your top three goals, the ones we've been working on so far, what do you really expect in terms of each of your goals? Please write it down now. Reread the above and apply it to your goal before moving on. Please do that right now. Stop the audio and go ahead and do that now. Okay, so if at first it doesn't appear that you're going to be able to work on this, or you're not going to be able to achieve this because of past experience, or you've got some old messages about, well, we've tried this before and it didn't work then, please remember to use Kolb's learning cycle to support you in breaking out of your old behaviors. So you need to expect what it is you want. You need to believe, you already know this, you need to believe that you can have it. You need to look at the past in terms of what didn't work in the past. What was it that I could have done more of? What was it that I could do less of? What's my learning from that past mistake or error? What could I do that's new or different this time, so that you don't get caught in a cycle of doing the same old things in the same old way? So if you've got any doubts, or if you're not sure if you can achieve your goals based on past experience, and especially if they were past experiences where there was failure rather than success, please stop now and answer those questions I've just given you. Answer those questions and get clear about the learning that you can gain. Because when you've got the learning, then if you want to, you can choose to let go of the old experience. You can put it in the past. Remember, the past does not have to equal your future, unless you want it to. So you can cut yourself from those ties from the past and go, now I've got the learning, I can let go. I've got a visual of this. See if you can get one, cutting a ribbon or a string or whatever it is that's holding you to the past, and allowing that to just slide back into the past where it belongs, so that you can create a new story, a new visual, a new future around this goal for you. Please do that now before continuing with the next part of this program. So, expectation follows desire, and it's essential as an ingredient when making changes to limiting beliefs and goals in general. If you really want to understand more about expectancy and you aren't sure if you can master the mind over matter approach, just take a look at some placebo experiments that have been carried out and see how they might support you in changing. You know, you can raise your expectations of yourself regardless of your conditioning. Find a way to prove it. Here's some following exercises to support you in doing just that. So scientists generally agree that for the placebo effect to occur, the subject must truly believe that they've been given effective treatment, whilst also believing such treatment is effective. Do you get that? One theory argues that the placebo effect is the result of the subject expectancy effect. That means the subjects expect a given result, and therefore they look for and then report that result. So here's some questions for you. Who could you work with who would expect you to succeed, who would believe in you and your ability, and could help you to influence your belief in yourself? Your coach comes to mind, but who else is there? If there's no one, you need to start looking for someone, and you definitely need to get yourself a coach if you don't have anyone at the moment who would help you with this question. Turn the audio off, please, and answer that question now. Okay, so if you came up with no one, then I'm going to ask you to take action on that. I'm going to ask you to write down, what would you do about that? You really need to have someone with you who's supporting you through these changes. I know I mentioned at the beginning a buddy and a coach. It can be a friend, it can be a mate, it can be anyone that's going to be there for you in terms of, they're not going to do things for you, but they're going to expect you to succeed, they're going to help you believe in yourself, and they're going to support you in terms of responsibility and taking action and moving forward. So please, if you don't have anyone, make that one of your actions for this week, to find someone. There's loads of coaches out there who are looking for practice clients. So if you don't have a coach by now, then it's not going to be too hard to find one. And it's important that you have someone who believes in you and who's going to be there to support you. Okay, question number two. How could you start to expect and get higher standards? How could you expect and get results and outcomes for yourself and for your goals? So take your goals again and answer the questions now before moving on. Do that now. Switch off the audio and I'll speak to you again in just a few moments. Okay, so here's another theory I'm going to share with you, and it's around results and beliefs, and it's called classical conditioning. Now, fans of this theory explain that people are conditioned to associate a particular stimulus with a particular response, and therefore they get it. So what I want to ask you, what have you been conditioned to expect that no longer serves you? How could you use what we've been doing so far to change old conditioning? Stop the audio. Answer those questions. This is where working with someone else will make this even easier, because it can take quite a lot of thinking to come up with answers for these things, but having a conversation, you can make it a lot easier. So what have you been conditioned to expect that no longer serves you? Take a few moments and do that now, please. Okay, I hope you're doing all right with this. And if for any reason you found that a challenging question, then, and you're doing this by yourself, take that to your buddy or your coach and explore it as part of your session, part of your personal development movement forward. Now, the third theory proposes that motivation to feel better or to achieve the outcome, as well as wanting to cooperate with the experimenter or the doctor, is the ultimate cause of placebo work. And this is by Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L. So how could you get motivated to feel better about your future? Answer that question, please. Who could you use as your motivator and inspirer? Do you really want to get better? If you do, how do you know that's true? Now remember the importance of imagination, and start to use it to support you in breaking free from our behaviours and patterns. Because if you want to look into placebo and its effects even more, consider researching Dr. Bruce Mosley's knee operations. You'll find these names in your workbook, and the placebo effect. Look at studies at the UCLA on depression and placebo, and look at Dr. Erwin Kirsch's work on belief and expectancy, Dr. David L. Phillips's work on the healing power of placebos. And if you like this kind of research, there's plenty more out there for you to look into. So I hope you're going to find this really useful in terms of making changes to how you think and raising your expectations about yourself. Okay, so that was a different way of sharing goal setting steps with you, wasn't it? And if you like them, use them. But if you prefer some other ways that we've looked at in terms of goal setting, then ignore what I've just shared with you and use what you like. But basically what I'm trying to do is give you lots of different things as you can have choice that way. You can try one way, and if you don't like it, you can try another. And if you like theory and you like research and you like evidence to know that you can make changes in beliefs, then I'm giving you some things that you can look into that might support you with that. So I'd like to encourage you to try as many different ways I introduce you to as you possibly can, then use what works for you. And mixing and matching is a great way of finding what's right for you. I'm very much into there is no one right way. There are lots and lots of brilliant things out there, brilliant tools and techniques and theories and ideas, and I just take a little bit of each one that I like, and if it works for me, I carry on using it. And when you do that, you can come up with your own style, and you might even create something original or set a new trend. So now it's your turn to put all of this into practice. Get clear about your mental approach to your goal. Get really clear about it. Then write yourself a recipe. I'm using that as an example because we all know about recipes, and the actions that you're going to take, the thoughts that you have, the feelings, etc., these are all ingredients in your recipe. And of course, if you get the right ingredients, then you'll have a wonderful, wonderful recipe that you're going to be able to put together and serve up and enjoy the fruits of that labour. So ensure you follow the recipe that I've shared with you, give it a go, and then create your own. Pull together all the different bits that you like and put all those ingredients together and create your own. And decide where you're going to start and what needs to be addressed, and then take action. And I want you to do this with each of your ongoing goals. Ideally, please do it now so that you can put this to one side and you can start taking those actions immediately. Take each of your goals, apply what we've just done together in this session to each one of them, and then look at what's working, what's not working, look at your expectation around them, everything that I've already shared with you, and enjoy the process. This is about you. This is about the most important person in your life. And this is about you bringing those goals into your life. We're halfway through the program. Just think how much you're going to be able to do by the time we finish this, and how many small steps you'll have taken towards the achievement of the goals that you've set. So that's the end of this session for this week. Next week, we're going to be looking at self-esteem and confidence. We're going to look at ways to work with esteem and work with your confidence. And I want to recap with what we've done today. We've looked at life view and filters. We looked at beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, feelings, decisions and choices. I mentioned John Wellwood and his castle idea to you. I've introduced you to the idea of a recipe for goal acquisition. We've looked at expectations and conditioning. We've looked at placebos and beliefs. And we've also started to look at mental attitude, asking you to think about your mental attitude. The personal development exercises we've done in this session. You had questions on thoughts and feelings around goals. We were looking at your expectations and the results that you get. We looked at conditioning and how it may be affecting your goal setting. We also started thinking about mindset and using placebos to support change. And I've offered you the opportunity to go research some of the placebo work if you're interested, as it can really support you with belief change, and introduced you to the idea of a recipe in terms of your chosen goal and the ingredients that you need in order to take it forward. Now, your questions for you to put around the house, put in your car, put in your diary, to ask yourself every day are, as I think about my goal today, what are my thoughts and feelings about it? What are my expectations around achieving my actions today? How can I recognise and then challenge any mind chatter that doesn't support me today? And if I like the idea of the recipe, using my new recipe this week, this is what I've noticed. And asking yourself that and noticing those points every single day between now and when we next speak. Here's your optional extras. You've got the option to go do some research. You don't have to do that. I recommend The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton, and also The Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Debbie Ford, which includes John Wellwood's story. And those optional extras, once again, are reading for you, because you will pick up exercises, extra work to do as part of that reading as you move along. And of course, you can always read those later if you've got plenty to do with the work that I've given you from this week. So your weekly action plan is here again. Where are you with your goal now? Write a sentence saying what you think about the goal that you're working on right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to achieve it? What three steps could you take this week to help move you closer to your goal? Write them down, and then please get clear about what will you do. Ideally, you will do the coulds, but what could you do? You might come up with 10. I want you to select three that you will take to move you closer to your goal. You're doing a sheet for each of your three goals. I know some of you will only be working on one, some of you will be working on two, some will be working on three. There is no right or wrong with that. It's whatever way you work best. And what have you done over the past weeks to take you closer to your goal? Write your progress to date here and celebrate it. Enjoy it. Have a fabulous week. I've loved working with you today, as always. Very much look forward to speaking to you again next week. In the meantime, enjoy the work you're doing on yourself. And as always, take care.